Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 29th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we're on page 16, the third paragraph, Most of Us Feel, through the conclusion of the chapter, ending with Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24, 1971. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Vanessa G., 12 Traditions, Joanne L. Readers of the text, Penny L. C., Sherry M., and Vanessa G. The reference number for Sunday, April 28th, is 21,344 and also 21,344. Five due to a technical challenge. So those numbers again are 21344 and also 21345, and that's for the Sunday special edition. And for this morning, Monday, April 29th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21355. That's 21355. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lorraine N., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. A special thank you to all of you for providing service this month during the whole month of April. Thank you so much. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Vanessa G. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Hi, everybody. This is Vanessa G., compulsive overeater recovered in New Mexico. These are the 12 steps of OA. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Vanessa G. And I'll now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Dawn. Thank you so very much for your service this month. It's been a pleasure. And also welcome to all the newcomers and everybody on the line. I am Joanne L. from Rhode Island, working on recovery. The 12 Traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience, All leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service board or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name, never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you so very much, and I pass.
And thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 16, the third paragraph, Most of Us Feel, through the conclusion of the chapter ending Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24, 1971. And I'll now ask Penny L.C. to read and then share with us.
Thank you, Don. Thank you for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Good morning to you, Don, and good morning to everyone on the line. And this is the conclusion of Bill's story. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. Each day, my friend's simple talk in our kitchen multiplies itself in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. Bill W., co-founder, AA, died January 24, 1971. And as I end this chapter, I get a chance to reflect for myself. We know Bill was a salesman by trade. And so as Bill's sales pitch comes to a close, he describes what he is promoting as utopia.
Can you speak louder? I can't hear you.
I'll do my best. Thank you.
Sorry about that. Please continue, Penny L.C. You could, please.
You're muted, Penny.
Yeah, press star one, Penny.
Am I heard now?
Yep, you sure are. Thank you so much. Okay. Sorry about that.
That's quiet all right. Now. I somehow got muted too. All righty. So, where was I? Oh, as Bill's sales pitch comes to a close, he describes what he is promoting as utopia. Utopia, a state or a place or a state of being in which everything is perfect. So I ask myself, why would it be that he felt it was perfect? Because he's allowing God's will to be his guide. The only down payment for this paradise is a desire and a willingness to consider a new way of life, an alternative choice to the self-imposed pain and misery he had trapped himself in. And I get to ask myself, am I convinced with all the firsthand accounts he has laid out before me, woven into his story? Can I identify in? Am I open to learning more about this miracle solution being offered in detail in the further chapters of this textbook? Bill believed, had faith, and found his new self and his new life by following the guidance of his higher power, his utopia. In reflecting on the whole story, I'm compelled to ask myself, did I think like Bill thought? Did I speak like Bill spoke? Did I behave like Bill behaved? If my answers definitely parallel Bill's way of processing his words and his actions, then I'm led to ask myself, do I want what Bill had? Am I willing and able to go to any length? If yes, then I will be ready to move forward on my road to recovery, like Bill did, and find freedom. For our newcomers with us today, please consider joining us to discover your spiritual solution. The miracle of it is available to you, as it was to each of us. Blessings on your journey. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC, for the beautiful job getting us started there. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Karen KZ in Missouri.
Karen KZ.
Broadie in Los Angeles.
Susan G. in Los Angeles, and the others, those other voices, if you could come in again and let me know your
Veronica
name.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Roz G. in Los Angeles.
Roz G.
Did you get Hannah B.?
K.S.
Hannah B.
Yep.
And who else was in there?
K.S. from Iowa.
K.S. from Iowa. Okay, let me tell you who I have in case there's someone else I might have missed. We want to make sure we get all of your time to share. So Karen KZ, Susan G, Veronica B, Roz G, Hannah B, and KS. Was there someone that I missed? Okay, beautiful. Let's go with that lineup. Karen KZ, please get us started, followed by Susan G.
Hi, thanks, Dawn, for your service. This is Karen KZ, gratefully recovered in Missouri. And I love every sentence in this paragraph. We need look no further for utopia that is found in the directions in this book, in all of the book, the entire abstinence and all of the steps. It is utopia. When we follow these instructions, our life is utopia. And we can have it, everybody can have it right here and now. And I love that his friend's simple, Ebby's simple talk in his kitchen keeps multiplying in a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill to men. What a beautiful example of what this program does for us individually. And then as we share it and take this message to others, and we, most of all, we live it in our lives, people all see that they can have peace and goodwill. And it's just from following these few simple directions. And yet, how difficult it was for me to do that. I always said, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but, yes, but. And until I stopped saying yes, but, and I surrendered and said, I give it all to you, God, and I follow instructions of a sponsor who's willing to spend her time, his time, taking me through this book so I can have this peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And for me, it comes from relying totally on God. And it's my prayer every day, you know, God, take me over, think your thoughts through me, speak your words through me, act your actions through me. That is why my life is so beautiful. And I have Bill and all the people who came before me and all of you who are also doing this and supporting me on my journey. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Karen KZ. Susan G., it's your turn now, followed by Veronica B.
Thank you. I will start off the LA party train. Good morning, everyone. Susan, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, everyone who gave service on Mondays during April. Thank you, Penny, for starting us off today. And what a relief that I'm no longer searching for that perfect this or perfect that, perfect human to help me stay stopped. And how grateful I am that Evie delivered a simple, simple talk at a little kitchen table, just like I'm sitting at mine right now, because I realized all of those things I did just were shoe God, just hold on one second, just sit off there to the side, because let me just complicate and make my life even worse and more miserable. And I searched for 16 years after I was aware of Overeaters Anonymous to try and find this easier, softer way. And I just kept getting myself all twisted in different places. And I was just in one big pickle. And the reason how I'm always reminded of why I need look no further is these doors are wide open and people come back after a week. They come back after a year. Sometimes they come back after decades. And we're still here and we save their seats for them. So I'm just immensely, immensely grateful to Bill, to Dr. Bob, to Roseanne, and all of those who have led me to this point, even though I have kicked a little bit sometimes along the way. But now, you know, decades later, here I am, and I'm just so thrilled. And I look forward to being part of continuing to multiply this correct message to help others. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Susan G. from California. Veronica B., please share with us now, followed by Roz G.
Good morning. I'm Veronica B. in California, recovered compulsive overeater and a bulimic. Thank you so much for your share, everybody that shared it before me. And I'm going to jump in on this LA wagon, like Susan said. Okay, so this word utopia, okay, I had to look it up because I thought I knew what it meant, but, you know, I didn't really know what it meant. And it's really, this is why this studying the big book and reading is just fascinating, because it opens my mind to new ways of thinking. And so the word utopia, often imaginary place or state of utter perfection and happiness. A place or state of utter perfection and happiness. And it's kind of fun because I was reading all the other meanings of utopia, you know, and it really is describing for me this way of life, of living these steps, applying these steps in my life on a daily basis. I used to be a slave to food, to eating and throwing up. I was a slave to that behavior for 15 years until I came into the rooms of Overeaters Anonymous in 2009. And I found this new way of living. For me, Overeaters Anonymous is like a society for me. There's a common solution here, and that's to get a God of my understanding and live by these spiritual principles, apply them in my day-to-day life. And on my own, I did not know how to live on a spiritual basis. I lived on a selfish basis.
I lived on a basis of, you know, making everybody else my higher power, making the things, making the people, making, you know, even sponsors my higher power. But this way of life for me is about, you know, with the God of my understanding, I get to try to do the right thing a day at a time. And I know what the allergy is for me as far as the food is concerned. You know, I know certain foods will set off the phenomenon craving for me, so I know to abstain from. You know, I can't go to those foods. And in the meantime, I get to apply this spiritual way of life in all of my affairs on a daily basis. And I have so much freedom today. I have freedom. That's the utopia part of this way of living, right? That I have freedom from bondage of self through working these steps and through being in the middle of Always Anonymous. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Veronica B. from California. Roz G., please share with us, followed by Hannah B.
Okay. Good morning. Thank you. My name is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California, which is in the county of Los Angeles. And so, this program has given me a beautiful life. And this paragraph is so beautiful to me. And when I see the words, each day my friends sip simple talk in our kitchen. And so fortunate to have visited that kitchen and sit with my daughter who is in another program and hold hands with her and smile for the camera. In fact, as I walked over to look at that picture while I'm talking to you guys right now, it's so amazing that I lived a chaos of being overweight, of comparing, of sneaking, of lying, of cheating, of control. Oh my God. I heard somebody say surrender, I think, in the shares this morning. And I have surrendered to this process, to these steps. And it has given me such peace and goodwill. And I want to share that I spent the weekend at a religious retreat of my faith over the weekend. Most of the conversations at the tables were women, of weight, what I can and cannot eat. I'm doing real good. I'm having a cheat time this time. And for me, it was being abstinent, of eating only abstinent foods on my plan, of bringing some backup in case they didn't have what I needed, and not having to have those conversations. I'm so grateful for that freedom and to observe the fact that this is a problem for so many people, and that I found this program, and I'm so grateful that I don't have to live like that one day at a time, and that I have to work at it. I have to work with people on a daily basis. I have to ask God on a daily basis and remind myself of what I am, and that I came back from that weekend with no guilt, no remorse, no shame, feeling the same way I felt when I came, except better because of the spiritual things that I learned and the relationships that I had, that I made. Thank you, God, and thank you, OA. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz G. from California. And if you're just joining us, we are talking about page 16, the third paragraph of the big book of Overeaters Anonymous, where it says, most of us feel, through the conclusion of the chapter ending Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. Hannah B., please share with us, followed by KS, and then I'll be taking some more names.
Hi, Hannah B., compulsive overeater, gratefully recovered. Today, I'm in Nashville, Tennessee. We're just outside it. Most of us feel we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. And you know, the next sentence that pops out at me from the big book is, deep down within every man, woman, and child lies the fundamental idea of God. And so this here and now, right with me, is within. and this is the kingdom within that I can access at any time. And as long as I stay open and willing to address the things that come up in me so that I don't have to reach outside myself to block that and cover that up. And it's amazing to me because I was blocked and covered up. God was blocked in me and covered up like obscured, even though I had this relationship with God and I was in recovery, you know, in other areas of my life, I was still blocked. I was blocking spirit in me and access to that. And so today I have 1 year. I'm 1 year old. And I feel like for the first time in my life, I can really allow and access. I have access to this power in a new way. Before I was able to, but it was like intermittently because I couldn't tolerate life for very long without getting back into the food, you know, and I was in denial. I didn't know that I was a compulsive overeater. I didn't even really know what that meant. Even though I knew all about OA and I really prejudiced it. And I was like, it is not for me. And I'd never been to an OA meeting. So this is incredible. Like what an incredible life turn, you know, so much pain, like when it came crashing down, but such an incredible gift to be able to wake up in a new way and be able to access this kingdom within. And, you know, utopia to me is just the earthly version of heaven. So, and you know, this widening circle and like, look at this ripple effect, like look at this meeting. Like, I don't know how many people are on this meeting, but what an incredible thing, you know, and this is just, you know, this is, I mean, just 12 steps. Look at that. Look at this incredible kingdom and who I show up as, is as God's person today, you know, and in alignment with my higher power is the continuation of that, you know, in everything I do, because everything I do has an impact. So whether it's, you know, disease or self-centered or whether it's God-centered. So I'm so grateful today and I'm so grateful and thankful for each and every one of you for holding this space and being here. Thank you,
Hannah B. in Tennessee, and congratulations on your 1 year. KS from Iowa, please share with us. Star one, K.
Okay, there you go. Now you can hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. So this is KS from Iowa, a grateful member of OA, and I really love like everybody said, such a beautiful, hopeful paragraph. And what I was thinking is how it says we need look no further. In other words, we found a place. You know, I was in a religious thing, and it was like I could hear what they were saying and some of their sayings, but it was not really asking me. There was no conversation sometimes about how you apply that personally and how other people. And I feel like one of the greatest gifts I've gotten in this program is I get to hear people's stories applying the principles of this program, applying the steps. And it tells me, oh, this is how they do it. The other one always seemed like something magical would happen, but I didn't know exactly what. And here, because we have these great resources of people in every stage, and I learned from people who are in here one day all the way to decades, and somebody always says something that I go, oh, I get that. Oh, that's helpful. I mean, I must have little light bulbs go off at least 3-4 times every meeting I'm at. And it's because not only are they sharing the principle, but they're applying it and they're telling me what that looked like for them. And mine might be a little different, a little more unique, but it always does widen that circle of friends because it makes us more loving and tolerant because we understand the struggle. And then it's asking us to get out of self, which then allows us to bring some peace instead of chaos. in my little world around me, even though it won't be anything that they'll write books about, but my relationships, my caring, my kindness, then has a ripple effect, even if they're compulsive overeaters or not. It's just adding that to the world to be closer to that utopia, as they say in this paragraph. So I'm just so grateful for everyone who shares. I cannot tell you how many things didn't even occur to me until I heard somebody else apply that principle in their life. And I go, oh, I do that. I could do that, or that would be helpful. So I'm just here and very grateful, and thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, KS from Iowa. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. We're on page 16, that third paragraph. Most of us feel through the conclusion of the chapter ending, Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. So we do value your experience, but we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences as well. So who would like to share with us?
Mona S.
Mona S.
Sue A.
Who was after Mona S? I didn't get those couple names.
Sue A.
I have Sue A.
And Penny. Penny C.
Christina M.
Penny C.
Claire E.
Christina M. Christina M. Claire E.
Deborah
from the UK. And
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay. I have Mona S., Sue A., Penny C., Christina M., Claire E., Deb G., and who is that other voice?
Jan S. Is in San California.
Jan S. Perfect. Okay, we're going to stop there, and
I'm
hopefully
sorry,
we'll have time for everyone.
Me. Hello, just what page are we on? I'm sorry.
Oh, no worries. We're on page 16, that third paragraph. Big Book of AA, most of us feel through the conclusion of the chapter with ending with Bill W., co-founder of OA.
Okay, thank you.
I'm sorry, of AA, died January 24th, 1971.
Thank you. Thanks.
Very good. Mona S., please share with us, followed by Sue A.
Thank you so much. This is Mona S. from Montana. And I just want to share that I have been coming a little over 10 months, and I was able to become abstinent within 2 weeks of joining by the grace of God. And I have continued to be abstinent from sugar for 10 months now. And I have not had an easy year. I have had a couple of surgeries that I hadn't planned on, healing from that, a bout with COVID, and 5 weeks of bronchitis. I've never had a year like that. And I'm sharing this because I want you to know through it all, I did not relapse, which is totally a miracle. That would have been enough reason for me to go and say I deserve to have my alcoholic foods and then get crazy again. And there was one day I felt so strongly. I just had had enough, and I'm going to go to the store and get my alcoholic foods. And I was so intense on that, and I'm sure many of you can identify with that experience. And I found myself driving right by the grocery store. Now, how does that happen? That was not my will. That was thy will. And I learned how important it is to continue to be spiritually fit. And for those of you coming in new who don't have a higher power and even shudder at the thought of a higher power, come in anyway. Many people continue to get recovery and learn whatever their higher power is. Nobody's going to tell you what that is. But I am just blown away with my higher power. And I also want to say the beauty of this program is just to have such a healthy, strong sponsor who had grace to know that I couldn't rush through the steps, because many times I wasn't getting sleep because I was in such severe pain due to knees that needed to have orthopedic surgery. And So she was patient with me, which taught me patience, because I'm not patient at all. I want it yesterday. That's the addict in me. And I also want it perfect. That is also the addict in me. And I had so much struggle with the perfectionism and not going fast enough. And my sponsor daily prayed with me. And even when I couldn't pray, she prayed. And I believe that's why I was able to get through a year like I did. So for newcomers, I'm just telling you, keep coming back, because abstinence does not have to be where you have to start all over again, over and over again. Now, I am not cocky, because I know from past experience, if I get cocky, that's when I couldn't lose my abstinence. It's a day at a time. Thank you so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thank you. Mona S. from Montana. Sue A., please share with us, followed by Penny C.
Yes, my name is Susan A., and I am from Delaware. I am a newcomer. I celebrated a month of abstinence yesterday for my very first time ever. I have been trying to understand this program for so long and found these meetings and started coming a month ago and have connected to a higher power, and my entire life has changed. Just admitting that I was the complete defeat and understanding what abstinence really means and what it is for me, and committing my meals to a sponsor. You know, I woke up this morning and I had a dentist appointment. I'm getting ready to take a trip across country, and I had all these plans of what I was going to do today. And I scratched my eye somehow, and I woke up and my eye was watering, and I can't do what I was supposed to do, but it's God doing for me what I can't do for myself. If I accept what is today and I eat my abstinent meals, I need to get ready for my trip. And God has done for me, I need to be at home. I need to do what I need to do to get ready for the trip. I don't need to go golfing. I don't need to do all these things that I plan to do. If I just listen to God's will for me and understand that He's in my life and I'm not in charge anymore, I've turned my food over. I no longer have control of anything. I am a child of God, and I'm done. I'm done being the one who's in charge. And for the first time ever, even sitting in the dentist chair, I'm listening to them. I'm being part of. I'm listening to the woman say that her son lost her book bag. It's not about me. I've just never ever experienced the gift that I've been given from doing these steps and being completely powerless in this program. I attended an OA retreat over the weekend and got such a shot of arm in my arm of this program. You know, I got so charged. I was with my people. I have this disease. I am part of. I belong. I'm finally home. And I just want to thank everyone for their service and listening to me. And I'm just so grateful to have a higher power in my life today. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Susan A. from Delaware, and congratulations on your 30 days. Penny L.C., please share with us, followed by Christina M.
Yeah, thank you for leading. Actually, it's just plain Penny C., and I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area, in fact, from Plymouth County. Oh, gosh. I've been studying this book for many, many years, paragraph by paragraph for 15, coming up on 15 years. And like a lot of other people will share, just suddenly some of these last lines just jumped out at me. A widening circle of peace on earth, goodwill to men. oh my gosh, it really hit me this morning that that's what the practice of the 12 steps has done for me, especially step 10. Oh my gosh, I volunteer at a food pantry in my town, put in quite a few hours, and it's so rewarding, and people are very nice. And the woman in charge the other day asked me if I had done something that needed to be done, and I do it all the time. So I answered in a very rude voice, of course I did. And it bothered me only because of the steps. Before OA, it wouldn't have bothered me. She deserved to be talked to like that. Nobody deserves to be talked to like that. And so the 10th step came in, you know, admitted when I was wrong and promptly admitted it. And so I found her in an area by herself, and I simply said, you know, I really spoke to you very rudely, and I don't like that of myself, and I'm sorry, and I'll watch for that again. And then I had peace in my earth, peace in my world, and it felt like, you know, you did what you needed to do, and I could just then give it to God. So I just wanted to share, we are so blessed, those of us who have this program, who read and study this book and know about this beautiful meeting, we are among the very blessed. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Penny C. Christina M., please share with us, followed by Claire E.
Thank you so much, Dawn. Thank you so much for your service. Hi, everyone. My name is Christina M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Massachusetts. So grateful to be here. And I raised my voice to share. Not so much because I want to share. I usually don't want to share, but I was listening to a special edition from this meeting, and the speaker lovingly issued a challenge to those of us who don't share as much on the meeting to use our voices and to share more. This person said, you know, there's someone out there who needs to hear your story. And so I am taking that challenge and trying to share more. And I'm so moved by this paragraph and by all the shares. What sticks out to me today is we need look no further for utopia. We have it with us right here and now. And to me, this is a promise, you know, that as I'm starting to read these paragraphs, you know, that this recovery is available to me right here, right now. You know, the external circumstances of my life do not need to change in order for me to experience recovery. And this was news for me. I did not know this. I always felt like everything outside had to change in order for me to feel better. And one of the things I heard when I first came back to OA about 3.5 years ago, after many years in and out of the program, you know, I heard a speaker say that, you know, for a real addict, for a real compulsive overeater, a real alcoholic, we understand that heaven and hell are states of mind. It's not something in the hereafter. Like, we know, if I'm a real compulsive overeater, which I believe I am, I understand that hell is a state of mind, and I was living in it, in this disease. And I did not know there was a way out. I didn't understand. I thought the best, you know, that I could hope for was just some sort of white-knuckled diet. You know, maybe I might lose a little weight, but that I would just kind of suffer for the rest of my days, like crossing off the days, feeling like, you know, what is the point of all of this? And that is not how I feel today. You know, I feel free, and I feel joy, and I feel, like I said, many of the circumstances of the external circumstances of my life have not changed, but I have been rearranged from the inside, which is such a gift. So I think that's almost my time, and I will pass with that. Thank you so much for your service, Dawn.
Thank you so much, Christina M. from Massachusetts, for sharing. Claire E. from the UK, it's your turn.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and thank you to everybody who shared. This has sort of been shared already. I was very happily just going to listen today, and I felt moved to share. It's a strange thing. My name's Claire E. I'm a recovered compulsive eater from Cornwall in the UK. It just never ceases to amaze me. And one of the things I love about this meeting and also the book is just I can read the same paragraph for the oomph time, and different stuff just jumps out at me. And I was actually going through this chapter this morning with a sponsee, and I took no notice of this paragraph, and I don't think I ever have. In fact, if anything, I think it sounds a bit like a Christmas carol in terms of a widening circle of peace on earth and goodwill for men. So now, a few hours later, I sit down and look at it more closely, and there's so much in it. I always felt it was always the next thing. In fact, at my wedding, my brother gave a little speech, and he said, "She's always searching for something else. It's always the new thing." And that's true. I have all my life. It's always been searching. And like a previous speaker said, it's always, contingent on conditions. When X, Y, and Z happens, I will feel X, Y, and Z. It's sort of that, even with recovery, and my relationship with God, I was challenged by a sponsor. I have a real attitude sometimes where I can say, come on, God, I've done this, that, and the other. Where's my recovery? And this just reminds me that I have it. Anytime I want to sit, God is in this moment. God's not in 2 weeks ago or 2 weeks time or in the next the next thing. God is right here and now. And when I can come back to being absolutely here now in the present, I always find I have what I need. I'm peaceful. And that's what it's promising us here, this sort of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And the other thing I'm just reminded of in this paragraph, and I flicked back through it to find it because I wasn't sure which particular bit it was in, and it's in the forward to the third edition right at the end. I've just looked at it on my copy, it's XXII. But it says, each day somewhere in the world, recovery begins when one alcoholic talks with another alcoholic, sharing experience, strength, and hope. And it just reminds me, however complicated and however big this widening circle of people, and we have Zoom meetings and we have conventions and this and that and the other and everything else, I love this description of the friend's simple talk in my kitchen. And, that reminded that that's what I do when I share from my heart my experience, strength and hope with someone who has not yet got the recovery they want and try to carry that message. And that's what the ripple effect is outwards. That's where it all starts. And finally, I just want to pick up on the last bit. I've never really noticed before. Well, I suppose I have, but Bill W., co-founder of AA, died January 24th, 1971. So this is 3.5 years before I'm born. I find that just, the die was set. This man had done all this work. This fellowship was flourishing at that point. And then I got to be born, wherever you believe, whether you're born or whether you develop it. But at any rate, this was here for me. And it wasn't here for generations and generations and generations of people. And we're so privileged and so lucky to have something that works for my eating disorder, that I can live a life where I'm happy, peaceful, and I generally mostly feel goodwill towards men. I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Claire E. from the UK. And unfortunately, we're out of time. So Deb and Jan, please come back tomorrow. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Sherry M. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes. Yes, I will. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order, but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.